Denodo Data Bytes. Hi everyone, welcome to our latest episode on Denodo Data Bytes. I'm your host Neha, and let's welcome our guest this week, Saptarshi Sengupta, who is the Senior Director of Product Marketing here at Denodo. Sapta has been responsible for leading Denodo's customer marketing, content marketing, analyst and press relations, and certain aspects of worldwide product marketing, among other things. Sapta brings in a wide range of industry knowledge, including 2 decades of engineering, product management, and marketing leadership experience. Glad to have you back on the show for the second time, Sapta. Before we deep dive into our conversation today about data fabric, data mesh, and why organizations should care about them, can you give us a quick introduction for our new listeners and also take us through your experience within the tech space and with them?
Of course, Neha. Thanks for having me again. Very happy to be on this show. So yeah, I have been in the tech industry for over 20 years now. It spanned quite a bit in terms of I have spent some time in semiconductor, some time in system hardware like Cisco and LSI and all. And then lately for the last, 7-8 years I have been in the software industry. Mainly at Denodo, I have been almost for 7 years now. And the way things are going in the software industry, like this data integration, data management space, it is super exciting. Lots and lots of innovation happening. Lots of cool things are happening, like cloud and cloud migration, multi-cloud. We'll, of course, touch upon a few of those things in today's call. So yeah, that's kind of my stint at tech industry. Super excited to share my experience and super excited to kind of share some of the things that you want to know in this particular podcast, and glad to talk to you again.
Perfect. Wonderful to have you on board too, Sapta. So very excited to begin with the conversation today. So my first question for you would be, can you tell us about the concepts of data mesh and data fabric for our listeners?
Of course. Yeah. So data fabric, a concept, has been around for quite some time now. And data fabric is an idea where you basically start all the way from source systems of data, where data is stored. For example, it can be in a RDBMS, it can be in some cloud object store, it can be in a SAP HANA, it can be anywhere, right? So all these data sources, what historically people used to do is that they used to kind of integrate this data through a process called ETL. And I mean, then they used to store in a data warehouse or something. And then people used to fetch this data for all sorts of analytics, reporting and all through some consuming applications like MicroStrategy, Tableau and all, right? Data fabric is taking this particular concept, but mixing a lot more data management ideas on top of it, end-to-end data management. So where it's a basically fabric, the concept of fabric, where fabric ties everything together, needs and to create a sweater or a shirt or a pant that we wear. That's the same thing. It's basically holding a lot of different components together to create this enterprise fabric in the context of enterprise data. So what happens there is like data integration, data ingestion, starting from data ingestion, data cleansing, data integration, data preparation, all the way to kind of semantics and cloud orchestration, data ops, lots of machine learning, AI ML baked into it. So that's everything together, all these different components we are talking about. That's the idea of putting together a data fabric. And we'll get into the details later. I mean, data fabric can be created in a physical way versus a logical way that Denodo, like we as a company, promote. So we can talk about that later. But on the other hand, data mesh is not a super new concept, but it's comparatively newer than data fabric. So in data mesh, what happens is that when our organization has grown substantially, these are large organization, mid to large size organizations, they will have various different functional areas that they call domain in the terms of data mesh creation. Let's say you have a functional unit like operations or marketing or anything like finance or sales. All these functional areas or domains, they know their data the best. Instead of depending on the central IT team to kind of create data sets that in the data mesh term called data product, that's very hard. IT sometimes does not understand the meaning of the data that resides within these business units. So at that point, what people are doing these days is that within those functional organizations, they are creating their own data products, and then they're surfacing that to the rest of the organization. And there's this concept of federated governance, where governing the data doesn't happen again centrally. Instead, all these different functional units working in tandem with the central IT team creates this federated governance, and that basically holds the data mesh together, that basically secures and governs the whole data mesh together, how people can serviceably kind of get data sets and get what they need from the organizational data standpoint, right? So that's at a very, very high level, the concept of data fabric and data mesh.
Very interesting to kind of understand in a very simplified way about both of these concepts. I have a follow-up question here. So deep diving a bit more into the topic, what are some prominent differences between data mesh and data fabric, like some key differentiators if you had to mention some?
Yeah, absolutely. More than happy to delve into the details. In fact, this is something I have been talking about in some of the latest webinars or some papers and all. I have seen some organizations, in fact, some of my kind of peers in other companies and all, they sometimes have confused the concept of data mesh and data fabric, and they usually think that these are almost two different ways of handling data. It's literally not. A data fabric, as the name suggests, is a way of integrating, managing, and delivering data to the end user for it can be a small business, it can be a medium business, it can be large enterprise. So that's the whole idea of data fabric, right? And data fabric's job is basically, and it can be central, in particular case of data fabric, it can be centrally managed, centrally created with all the different components that we spoke about. Combining those together, you can create this data fabric, and you basically give your data to your end user. Now, data fabric is a composable architecture, but more importantly, the way I think about data fabric is it's an architectural approach. It's an infrastructure play. Okay, so you can put together some of the real components of a data fabric, like a data integration layer, data quality tool, or a data quality layer, a data preparation layer, or a semantic layer, a data and ops layer, orchestration layer, multi-cloud and hybrid cloud kind of orchestration layer, ML AI layer, all these layers, these are all infrastructure play. They can be put together, sandwiched together to create the concept of data fabric. Data mesh, on the other hand, it's more of a process orientation. Okay, it's also an architectural approach, but it's not so much about infrastructure. It's how you actually put together your organizational people, process, and tools together to create the concept of these domains, create the concept of these data products. And once you have all these different data products across the organization, how now you expose that kind of data sets or data products to the rest of the organization so that people can consume the data in a meaningful way, and you can govern and secure the data also, as I said, I spoke about the federated governance concept, right? So at a very high level, if I again want to take it up to the 40,000 feet level, let's think about data fabric as an infrastructure play and data mesh as a process orientation. Both are kind of, in a sense, architecture approach of dealing with data and data analytics, but they have a very clear distinction between them.
Data fabric, in your words, would be more of like integrating, managing, and delivering the data for the end user. And it's more from both are an architectural approach, like you mentioned, but this is more like an infrastructure play, but then data mesh is more process oriented.
That's absolutely correct.
So how do both these data architectures complement each other? Like, is there a way where both of these could be applied together?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, very good question, actually. So they can complement each other and they can be applied together. Now, the way we think about our platform or any other data fabric platform, so just to give you a sense, like if you look up a Denodo platform, Denodo platform happens to be part of this wave, Forrester wave, which is called the data fabric wave, right? The reason we are part of that wave is because our platform kind of stands for a data fabric. So we have all the components that you need to create a data fabric, and that's why we can call our platform a data fabric. Why I'm giving you this example is because when people use our platform, they literally are using a data fabric. Okay, they have all the components to build their data fabric. Now, data mesh can be created in various different ways, and they can actually create the concept of data mesh using our platform. For example, there are customers of ours, like Lands Banking is a very, very good example. They are actually one of the largest, or probably the largest bank in Iceland, and they have been using our platform for quite some time now. So initially, what they did is they took our platform to create what we call logical data warehouse. And logical data warehouse and logical data fabric, the big difference between these two is that, or data fabric, you can say, you can call it like either data fabric or logical data fabric that we help our customers build, is that the data warehouse or logical data warehouse, if you bake AI ML into it, that basically becomes your data fabric. Okay, a lot of AI ML baked into it. And so going back there, where we started, Lands Banking started creating logical data warehouse with our platform. Later on, they started using a lot of our like data catalog. And then on top of that, they started using our AI ML features and all. So based on all these things, now they created a data fabric with our platform. And that's how they were kind of managing their data end to end, integrating, managing, and delivering the data, as I spoke about earlier. Now, later on, they actually created this data mesh idea. By that time, I mean, they have been using our platform for 5-6 years now. In the last year or two, what happened is that they now started creating data products. They have given the right access to all the different business units, as I spoke about, the functional domains, and they have started creating their own data products. They're surfacing those data products to the rest of the organization. Within a bank, you can think about, they have so many different business units within a bank, right? So all these business units are kind of sharing data with each other, creating these data products. They are also governing and securing the data the way we spoke about. So that's the interplay between data fabric and data mesh. You can create a data fabric on day one, and that's an infrastructure play. That's how you manage, integrate, manage, and deliver your data. But on day one, when you are creating a data fabric or putting a platform like ours in play, you may not have started using the data mesh concept within your organization. Maybe there is no need, or more than need, there probably is not like maturity in terms of creating your data mesh, right? As soon as you mature in terms of your like data fabric architecture, at that point, you are at a position to start creating these data products. If every part of your organization knows how to create the data products, they figured out like through our platform or through any platform for that matter of fact, how you can expose that data to your end users and share with the rest of the organization. You know how to better manage and govern the data, et cetera, et cetera. So again, going back to the point at a very high level, you first inject or create a data fabric within your organization. You put together that concept of logical data fabric with a platform like ours, where data virtualization is the main powering engine. That's why it is called a logical data warehouse or a logical data fabric. And then you start that concept of data mesh and over time within your organization. Did that answer your question, Neha?
Yeah, absolutely, Saptas. This was very interesting to know, actually. So in a way, do you say that logical data fabric is sort of like the preliminary step, and then organizations can always add this additional layer of like, you know, with data mesh and depending on their needs, but like to begin with, preliminarily, logical data fabric is like the first step in their data management process.
Absolutely. Right? So logical data fabric or a data fabric is the, because it's the infrastructure play, you put that thing together. Once you have maturity with that particular infrastructure, now you can start creating your data mesh, because as I said, it's a concept, it's an architectural approach and people process orientation. So yeah.
So how can then Denodo help organizations implement these architectural approaches? Like, why is data virtualization important for such architectures?
Just to make sure our audience understands that, and many of them I'm sure already understand, data fabric, data mesh, any of this architecture do not necessarily need a virtualization, do not necessarily need to be logical. The worry there is that many a times, historically, we have been creating these data warehouses, data marts, and whatnot, and there the data gets physically replicated, and it has multiple cons to it, multiple issues to it. I mean, it has lots of benefits also, but and everything has its own sweet spot, right? I mean, not everything is gonna go logical, because, I mean, you have to keep the data somewhere, and you will have your investment protected, so you will have your data warehouses, data marts, and all. Now, Denodo's strength is that our platform also has some of those ETL or ELT capabilities and streaming data integration capabilities and all. And every data can be managed in a very different way. But data virtualization gets rid of the need for this ETLing and data replication and all. It is less costly. It is less manual labor intensive. takes much less time to integrate. As you can understand, you are not moving the data in a batch oriented process or anything. You literally are integrating as and when required. And then the biggest thing these days is that compliance. As you know, lately we are talking about GDPR compliance, GRC compliance, and whatnot. There are various different other compliance like UK Data Protection Act, South Africa has POPI. And because of this compliance, as and when you actually replicate data again and again, you have this PII data, personally identifiable data and all, replication always puts organization at risk in terms of compliance and security and all. So the less data you replicate, the less copies of data you create, you are better off. And these days, a lot of companies have multi-location, multi-cloud architecture. Data is everywhere throughout the world. So you don't want to keep moving the data, but let the data reside where they are and only virtually and logically integrate the data as and when required. So Denodo helps there. Denodo absolutely stands out there. When I spoke about lens banking, we have other large companies who are our customers, right? And all this like banks and healthcare organizations, data protection is absolutely paramount for them. Denodo helps this organization to create that concept of logical data warehouse on day one, then logical data fabric, where you have a lot of use cases of AI, ML, and data catalog and all to consume the data or search for the data. And finally, you get to a point where data mesh can be very easily created by your platform. The concept of data product that we spoke about, we create basically virtual data sets. Okay, these virtual data sets are nothing but data product in data mesh terminology. We also help organizations with federated governance, right? Because when you are governing data through our platform, a lot of things are virtual or logical in nature, so governance becomes much more easy. So every organization within the, or every functional unit within an organization can govern their data set through Denodo platform in a very easy way. And so long story short is that when people or organization create data fabric and data mesh with our platform, it's logical in nature, is easy to deal with, and it's less, as I said, it's less costly, less manual labor intensive. It is future protected. That's another thing I wanted to bring up, is that our future ready. Whenever you are replicating data or creating these data warehouses and data marts one after another, physically replicating data, if your technology changes, if there is an innovation where your underlying data source change or your application change, you have to again and again rewrite code and reload the data in some other places. When you stop replicating data, it's very future ready. Everything kind of talks to Denodo as a glue. And when your application changes or data sources changes, you just need to disconnect and connect the older source and new source, or older application and new application. So that's how I would like to think Denodo helps our customers immensely. They see huge value in this logical nature of data integration, data management, and data delivery. And that's how we are benefiting our customers with data fabric and data mesh.
So one last question in terms of the topic. So I know you've already covered it a bit, like when you explained lens banking and a few others that you mentioned here, but is there any other use cases or a case study that kind of stands out to you where the organization has integrating like data mesh or data fabric implementation approach for that organization?
Yeah. Multiple companies. So I just took the lens banking example because they're one of our customers who have publicly spoken about their data fabric architecture and data mesh architecture with our platform. Now, there are a few other examples where customers have used our platform for both data mesh and data fabric creation. But independently, there are many, many customers of ours who have created either data fabric or data mesh with our platform. And I can give you one or two examples there. So there is this company called City Furniture. They are Florida's largest furniture shop. They, during the COVID time, they actually wanted to go beyond the boundary of Florida, and they also wanted to ramp up their digital business. So for that, they created this data fabric with Denodo platform, right? And they have been, I don't know how much they have implemented yet, but they have been thinking about the data mesh architecture, the creating the data products, et cetera, right? Similarly, one of our, another very large customers, I cannot take their name because they're a private customer. They're one of the largest semiconductor companies in the world. They have been using our platform for that concept of data fabric. Everything is inside that company, like thousands and thousands of people actually use Denodo platform to consume data. Everything goes through Denodo platform because Denodo platform is their like data fabric, which holds their enterprise data together. And they lately have been using the concept of data mesh, where they have created data products. As I said, like there are thousands of users inside that company who are part of different functional units or are business units. So they have been creating data products the way I defined earlier, and they have the, both the concept of data fabric and data mesh logical in nature inside their organization. So I can go on and on with many such examples. I would like to think for the thousands of enterprise customers that we have, at least half of them, if not more, are using our platform as a logical data fabric or a logical data mesh today.
This has been a wonderful session, Sapta. It was great discussing everything related to data mesh and data fabric with you and why it's important for us to understand the difference and why it's important for organizations as well to cater to their specific data needs. Before we wrap up our session, I would love to have a quick Q&A round with you. What is your go-to place for a vacation if you had to choose one?
Lately, it has been Europe. Actually, me and my family, all of us love Europe quite a bit. And we, of course, live in North America, and there are so many places in Europe to explore. So I cannot name a particular place, but lately we have been making some trips to Europe, different parts of Europe, lots of different culture, different food. Like, it's an immersive thing when we go to Europe, like for 7 to 10 days. And I'm looking forward to my next Europe trip very soon.
And my next question for you is, what book or a show or a documentary, anything that you're watching that comes to your mind that has been impactful for you?
Lately, I have not been, to be truthful, I have not been reading quite a bit, but lately I have been watching a lot of documentaries, multiple documentaries on Netflix particularly. One that comes to my mind is like a short series with Bill Gates, where he kind of talks about like how he thinks, how he reads, how he solves problems, how he looks at certain problems. It was like literally eye-opening how that person or people like him think. He supposedly goes out in isolation. He has this small cabin or something somewhere in Seattle. He will take like 6, 7, 10 books on a particular topic. The way he thinks, the way he solves the problem, he supposedly goes to an isolation for 4, 5, 6 days. He will read as much as possible, formulate idea, think about it very, very drastically differently from how the rest of the world is thinking, and then come and work with the rest of the team to kind of implement those. I mean, it was really eye-opening experience for me. I kind of hogged that particular documentary, binge was basically fascinating to watch it.
Thank you so much, Sapta, for a great episode. It is always wonderful to speak with you and to have you on the show. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, and great chatting with you.
And a quick message to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.